Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Nate Taylor of The Athletic. You can also hear him on Only Weird Games with me and somebody less important to it all. Nate, we've talked about the burden over the last couple of weeks. I referenced it in the open today. I want to talk about the burden of some time off. But what was the burden of Christmas on the road like for you? That's I just would love for you and every Chiefs media member to have a Christmas maybe without the Chiefs playing on it next year. But I don't know if Santa's taking my wishes or not.
Yes. Thank you, Josh, for considering my family and my own sanity more than Roger Goodell. I'm truly inspired and grateful. Let me tell the audience. You know, obviously, I live in my beloved hometown. I have this civic duty, which I take great pleasure in trying to provide information in a way that's serviceable to the community. There are no, and by the way, this tells you like the league really doesn't care. There are no direct flights, ladies and gentlemen, that I could see once the schedule came out between Kansas City and Pittsburgh. If you found it, congratulations. I haven't found it. I think the times that the Chiefs have played in Pittsburgh, I've never been on a direct flight. I either have to go to Detroit or Minneapolis or Chicago. So, God bless my wife, Holly, as you know, Josh. We brought Hayden with us to Pittsburgh to do, a as good as we could make it Christmas. Santa Claus, we sent the letter. Hey, man, things have changed this year. Patrick Mahomes. we'll be at this hotel on Christmas Eve. Please come, you figure it out. So, yeah, man, I mean, we didn't get in until like 11:30. I don't think this boy went to bed until like 12:30. And then, he woke up at 7 and it was Christmas. And where am I? What time is it? What world am I in? Oh, that's right. They play a game today. Like it was so like abnormal, but in obviously a good way. Like, my son is happy. Santa Claus once again did a great job. We all know who that is. At least in my household. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, like, okay, if they're going to make us play this game on a Wednesday or make them play the game on the Wednesday, if I'm going to have to cover it and Chris Jones isn't going to play, like, okay, I guess it makes sense to me. Throughout all of that, Josh, it was the moment they had really been like walking towards all season, which is like an actual like dominant performance in front of the entire country, if you had Netflix, and just reminding them of how dominant they can be when the games actually start to matter. We talked about this too, like, hey man, guys, if we win today, we get the one seed. That's the message. It's not like Andy Reid had to like really like talk the guys up into like some like, rousing speech or whatever. And the guys took that message and they ran with it. And so, it's a lot more memorable than the Christmas last year, of course. Mm-hmm. And so I've been told that Christmas is on a Thursday this year. So I guess I'll have Christmas with Al Michaels and Herb Street. Yeah. I guess.
I'll ask the question that my in-laws asked me on Christmas. And my answer to them was, I don't know. Do you think we're on the precipice of the Chiefs playing on Christmas, a la the Lions and Cowboys on Thanksgiving, or will Roger Goodell have mercy on our souls at some point?
Please, Roger, please stop it, okay? I don't think the Chiefs will get to a point where they are like officially like we play the Christmas game. It's still, I mean, The mental gymnastics and the scheduling mechanisms they had to put in place just to make this work. Hey, you're going to play Sunday to Saturday to Wednesday. I mean, it's like, you can't do that. Like, you can't. What are we going to do if it's on a Tuesday? Rods play on a Friday?
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
It's insane. It really is insane. I don't know. if the Chiefs will make it to Christmas. Now, I think I don't know if I told you this, but I've heard a theory. Do you want to hear my theory?
I want to hear the theory so bad.
This obviously involves the Chiefs to some degree, because they can inherently just be that team every year. But, you know, one of the best things about Thanksgiving is, hey, this was a tradition from the Lions. You know, the Lions played on Thanksgiving. It was really cool. Everybody had a great time. Cowboys said, we can't let them have it. Give it to us, too. So it's like, okay, fine, America's team. I guess we can do this a doubleheader. Cool, whatever. So now, and again, this is in November, not late December, there has been some speculation that given their popularity, and let me say that again, due to their popularity, not their success,
mm-hmm.
due to their popularity and their location and their historical, place in NFL history, there has been some thought that Black Friday will be the Las Vegas Raiders' day moving forward, and that the Black Friday through Amazon or Netflix or whoever the hell else wants this thing, Black Friday will be Black Friday, i.e. the Raiders will play on this day, because it gives you an AFC sort of, you know, because obviously for comparison's sake, Thanksgiving is largely an NFL day, mm-hmm. which largely means it's an NFC day before the mergers, of course. So, or before the big merger. Mm-hmm. So now that we, are living in this world, and because Amazon exists and because they know they can't get a Thursday game on Thanksgiving because that goes to NBC for the night game. And then obviously CBS and Fox sort of alternate every year between whether they're in Dallas or Detroit. Okay, how do we get Amazon? It's Thursday game, technically not on a Thursday. Oh, it's Black Friday. And guess what? People want to watch the Raiders. The Raiders are fun. They're entertaining. They have a huge following, even though they're not having good since I was in like high school. Yeah. So like, yeah, but I think that's what I've heard. I don't know if that'll happen. That'll be something that the owners will talk about. I believe this off season. And considering that if you could just always pair the Raiders and the Chiefs on Black Friday, whether it's in Vegas or Kansas City, there is some validity to that thought process that I've heard.
I'm cool with that. Also, I think you've already got the funky schedule with those three Thanksgiving games, and it's one day better than a Sunday to Thursday turnaround. You get a little bit of a slightly longer week going. I'm good with that. And really, several times this year, I've enjoyed. This is a topic for later, also, but we can touch on it now. I've enjoyed the Chiefs being in some standalone slots because it lets me watch Red Zone, which is my favorite thing.
Yes.
And then yesterday, I got to watch Red Zone, and it was six, I think, terrible football games in the noon window. And then two, one of them terrible, both of them not great, in the afternoon window. Nate, Scott Hansen said, all right, we're going to go ahead and give you three questions from Baker Mayfield's press conference. And I could have wept. God. I fell to my knees in front of my television. I can't snort press conferences, Nate.
No one's here for that. And again, Baker Mayfield better say the most outrageous thing I've ever heard, which I'm sure he didn't.
No.
So why are we doing this? The whole thing too about like it's supposed to be commercial free football, but like, hey man, that's a commercial on my screen.
Yeah,
this is like what are you like? Why are we cheapening the product? Okay, as everybody knows, or as most people know, I have described Red Zone in a substance manner that is an illegal drug.
Yeah,
and we are cheapening it. Okay,
yes.
They are stepping on it too much. I need it to be pure. I need it to be what it was brought to me, back in the day, right? Like a decade ago when they first really let this thing pop off. This is how you know the league is getting away with all this nonsense. Mm. Josh, I woke up yesterday, right? Off of, hey, man, that was the first really good night of sleep I got. Wow. Okay, it's a Sunday. Yeah, like football. Yeah, yeah. Why the hell is Joe Flacco the starting quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts?
Uh-huh.
I totally didn't realize it. Like, I covered this league, and I was like, wait, what? Joe Flacco? With the season on the line? What? Like, huh? I'm watching Joe Flacco and Drew Locke?
Yeah. Yeah, and both quarterbacks are doing the thing that their team did not want them to do.
Right. That's the best part. It's like, no, Drew, go down. Of course he ran into the end zone.
Never. Never.
It's incredible. So, yes, I mean, it's great that the Chiefs have been the thing that has propped the NFL even further into, like, ratings. And there's something to be written about. I haven't done it yet, but there's, like, research. I mean, maybe tonight's the night I convince Holly, Josh, that I got to watch this documentary on Amazon. I got to. I mean, I got to. I mean, we got. By the way, no one affiliated with the team that I was told is in this documentary, but it's about the Chiefs. I mean, you just slap Chiefs and robberies on it, and people will watch. But there's something to be written about the fact that the Chiefs, more than the Cowboys in some sense, more than the Eagles, more than, you know, even what the Patriots probably were doing, you know, a decade ago, they are carrying the NFL in every major statistical marker for television in terms of ratings, in terms of viewership, in terms of, I mean, I knew Netflix was going to be like, look at all these people, you know, and it's like, okay, so you're telling me Netflix peaked at halftime with Beyonce and when Patrick Mahomes had the ball.
Yep.
Cool. Yep. Cool. Really cool. Like, you know, so to your point, it's like, hey, if you want a guaranteed, you know, ratings hit, put them on Black Friday, put them on Christmas. Hell, put them on at, I've always said this before, put them on at 2 a.m. on Saturn and you're going to get a number. So, you know, now that we're entering the phase of the postseason, there's probably something to be said about the idea that, like, you know, I don't want to say like the Chiefs are America's team, but they have similar traits, like the Chicago Bulls of the 90s, obviously the Lakers of the Kobe Bryant, you know, Shaquille O'Neal era in the early 2000s were like, if you just put them on television, people will tune in. You know, there's a reason why, and I'm begging Adam Silver, I don't know what you got to do, man. I don't know how many drugs you got to give them. I don't care about, like, competitive balance. It don't matter. Please keep giving me Steph Curry and LeBron James. That's all I want. That's all I want, man. I know I'm old. I know they're even older. Just give it to me more often, because that's the only thing the NBA has to sort of compete with the NFL, and even that's not even a fair competition. So with the Chiefs having all these standalone games, it's nice to see – man, if we thought the Chiefs were sort of mediocre halfway through this season, it's not like there's a lot of teams better.
How remarkable is that to you? Because you know, we get very, very understandably caught up in the day-to-day of all of this because that's the job. But, like, being a Kansas City native and having obviously covered this team, but also having covered other things around the country, other sports, getting sort of the national media angle on everything and then getting far enough removed to look back and realize it's not just back-to-back championships and a shot at history here, because theoretically any team can do that, right? Like the Super Bowl losing years of the Buffalo Bills, that was Buffalo. But the Chiefs are in full, they are in America's team territory in the same way that you know, you win enough that you become hated by the teams that the fan bases that don't love you. You have the two most recognizable players in the sport right now. You have the most recognizable head coach on your sideline, and you do keep winning. I always enjoy taking the 2 minutes to kind of like re-examine that, because every time it kind of boggles my mind.
It really does. And you know, for as much as I've enjoyed the Eagles this season, right, and give credit to Kenny Pickett for, you know, doing what he was supposed to do as a professional, I mean, Saquon Barkley's their team, you know? Yeah. And that's amazing that, like, 2,000 yards, okay, like, they're a legitimate team. You know, I can't wait to watch next week between the Lions and the Vikings, right? The Vikings legitimately could be the one seed. The Vikings could go to the Super Bowl with Sam Darnold. Like, you know, so I do think the league is a lot more wide open once you exclude the Chiefs. Once you include them, it is very much to your point, Josh, of just like, wow, like Lamar Jackson, underratedly having the best season of his career, he still doesn't have the supporting cast around him, which is wild. It's like, hey, they moved Kyle Hamilton to deep safety and they weren't absolute hot garbage on defense anymore. It's like, wow, you know, but he doesn't have the necessary pieces around him, I think, to compete at the highest level on the Chiefs' best day, right? Mm-hmm. Josh Allen is an absolute tour de force. Keon Coleman, Amari Cooper, Dawson Knox. I mean, his offensive line is very good, and that's where he's able to sort of operate outside the norms of most quarterbacks. There's not, I mean, I loved the Houston Texans coming into this season. They are a shell of themselves. You know, we just watched the Chiefs dismantle the Steelers. There's not a lot of top level competition. And so even if the Chiefs get to the Super Bowl, right, even if they have a chance to complete the three-peat, I still think we'll probably look back on it 10, 15 years later and say, man, it was actually the 2023 season that you should have got the Chiefs.
Yep.
That was the hardest stretch. If what we saw on Christmas Day is pretty much the normalized standard proceeding operation for the Chiefs in the postseason, right? If Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy are pretty much always open due to their speed, and you have Kelce and DeAndre Hopkins working underneath, the Chiefs will probably score 30 at some point in a postseason game. And so if they get to the Super Bowl, all they have to do is beat one team. When you realize that, like, maybe that team wasn't as good, hey, it's nice to have Justin Jefferson. He's awesome. But, like, maybe that Vikings team, if they get to the Super Bowl, is not as good as last year's 49ers team, which was a collection of all pros. And even the year before, where, like, the Eagles were one of the most dominant run teams we had seen in the modern NFL era, to always control the tempo and the style of the game. And Mahomes just went, I don't know, he went to, like, another level in the second half and had one incompletion. So, like, it's like, how do you beat a team that can just always get a first down every four tries? It's like, well, what if we just score a touchdown every drive after halftime? And it's like, well, I guess you can win that way. He's like, well, yeah, we'll do that. Like, yeah, if that's what's required of me, I'll score a touchdown every drive in the second half of the freaking Super Bowl. And you're like, oh, I mean, as I say that out loud, it sounds normal. It's not normal, no. Ladies and gentlemen. like last year, they had Deebo Samuels, Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle, Trent Williams, and Christian McCaffrey. Well, I guess we can't let them touch the ball in overtime. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm never going to let them touch the ball in overtime. So, I mean, we should not be surprised if the Chiefs do three-peat, but yet when you really sit down and think about it, you're like, wow, the league should be tougher than this. It's designed to be tougher than this. But because you have one of the best coaches, if not the best coach in the NFL right now, you obviously have the most talented quarterback, you have home field advantage, they will be rested. Their bodies will feel a lot better, we think, than the other teams. Yep. Man, it's wild to consider that by extending the season another week, you know, going from 16 weeks to 17 weeks to only having one bye, it's given the Chiefs quite a bit of an unfair advantage, but they've earned it because they won all those one-score games.
It's why those games were so stressful, and it's why a fingertip on a kick against the Denver Broncos is the thing that now gives you a chance to rest everybody this last week. We're talking to Nate Taylor of The Athletic. What are you expecting here in Week 18? Let me ask you so you can give me the shorter list. Who amongst the team's top, like, 30 players do you think will play in this game or play significant snaps? I think I imagine Creed's going to go out there, snap the opening one, and maybe play a drive because he's got a streak going. But who who of the top, again, really, top 30 guys do you think is going to get significant work?
Man, it's a great question. I wonder if, like, Leo Chenal will play.
Yes.
Just because he can do special teams, he can be on defense, right? Drew Tranquil's older, Nick Bolton's older, you let those guys rest. You can try to say, hey, can you just give us, like, 15 professional snaps, Leo? You might see that, right? Trying to think what else. You know, I don't know if DJ Humphries is top 30, but he will be the one that I think most people should watch alongside Carson Wentz on Sunday against the Denver Broncos. Because really the Denver Broncos' entire playoff hopes come down to Carson Wentz and DJ Humphries. That's
so
the entire
sick.
It's just insane. It's like, well, you know, either this guy who is coming off an ACL and had a hamstring injury, you know, if he plays the entire game, you might not make the playoffs.
Yeah.
So I think Noah Gray will probably play a decent amount of snaps. He's kind of in the top 30, right?
Mm-hmm. I think so, yeah. Humphreys and Steven Nelson are the only two guys who I want to see play, who I also want to see potentially in the playoffs. Both of those guys are kind of, you know, in some ways contingent on who's around them. But, like, I want to see both of them. And then so on the Humphreys thing, what do you think the plan is? Andy Reid's not going to tell us when he talks in an hour. Maybe he'll give us a little bit on Isaiah Pacheco. I'm not holding my breath for much more than that. But what do you think the Chiefs' plan is at left tackle, given the fact that Humphreys does have one game he could go out there and get some reps under his belt, but also that Joe Tooney has stabilized that position a little bit over these last few weeks?
Yeah. No, I want people to understand that Andy Reid will tell his – I mean, he's already told him this morning, right? Andy Reid has told his players this morning, hey, we are professionals. We are going to Denver to win. We're going to Denver to have 16 wins on our record after already, you know, setting the franchise record 15. Yes, I'm a sit, guys, for obvious reasons. It's been a long year. But, like, hey, DJ Humphreys, we're going to win, okay? Carson Wentz has a lot riding on Sunday because Gardner Minshew was a freaking starting quarterback in this league this year, okay? Never forget that, right? Gardner Minshew went to Baltimore in week two and led the Raiders to an upset victory? That happened, right? So if you're Carson Wentz, why can't I be that in 2025? So, hey, Nico Remigio, you better run them routes, right? Mm-hmm. Hey, DJ Humphreys, like, I need to see you against Nick – how do you say his name? Nick Benito?
Benito, yeah.
Benito, yes. I need to see you against Nick Benito because, again, that is a legitimate professional pass rusher. And, by the way, this is a perfect scenario for the Chiefs in a sense because it's not like that team is playing its backups. It's not like last year where Chris Jones was chasing what was his name? Easton Stick,
yes.
For his 10th incentivized sack to get $1.5 million. You're not going to watch that. Like, you know, Bo Nix is going to play. Obviously, you know, everybody's going to be involved. So this will be a good test. If DJ Humphreys can get to the game and he can keep Carson Wentz upright and, you know, he has no ill effects coming after the game, then now Andy Reid has something to consider. If DJ Humphreys struggles or has another, you know, lingering injury, or let's say the hamstring unfortunately sort of pops up again, then you have to stay with Joe Tooney. You know, I think Mike Caliendo, this is obviously a weird twist now that I'm thinking it through, but Mike Caliendo is going to have to play on Sunday because with Joe Tooney not playing, with, I think, Trey Smith, Creed Humphrey, you know, get them all off the field, Juwan Taylor. Like, hey, you need somebody who's a veteran to, like, run the offensive line. So, like, you need Mike Caliendo to get through the game, too, alongside DJ Humphreys, so that he's still an option if you have to move Joe Tooney back to left tackle or keep him there, I should say, for the divisional round. You know, if it's a perfect, ideal world, ladies and gentlemen, Andy Reid wants your offensive line on the divisional round, which will probably be Saturday, January 18th. He wants that to be DJ Humphreys at left tackle, Joe Tooney, Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith, Juwan Taylor. That's what he wants. But the circumstances may say, based on what we've seen so far and the comfort of your quarterback, you might actually have to stay with the offensive line that we've seen over the last 3 weeks.
Real quick, anything on Isaiah Pacheco? Any guesses? Do we think Andy Reid will tell us anything resembling the truth today?
No, he won't tell us anything between the truth. Now, you know, one of the strangest things is that you have to – this is the Chiefs' issue, not mine, ladies and gentlemen. You have to sort of speculate because the Chiefs will tell you, hey, if a guy is hurt, if he didn't finish the game, you cannot talk to him. He's off limits. Now, usually that player will be, like, in the back room getting, you know, more evaluations from the training staff, or he'll just be, you know, he'll be getting dressed somewhere where you cannot contact and communicate with that man. I saw Isaiah Pacheco in the locker room. I know he wasn't feeling great, but he looked fine. It was very similar to me what happened with Joshua Williams, I think, in the Raiders game where he had like a chest injury. Mm-hmm. But I did see him in the locker room after the game, and guess what? Josh Williams was like practicing the next week. So I don't think, you know, we haven't heard anything. At least I haven't heard anything that has been put out since that Isaiah Pacheco has a major injury, but it was to his ribs. You always want to be a little cautious on those tender parts of the body. But I get the impression that he will probably be a participant this week. Don't know if he'll necessarily have to play, considering you have to rest him and Kareem Hunt to get those legs as fresh as possible for the postseason run.
I am ready for 20 Carson Steele carries, and it does not matter what he does with them. It's Carson Steele season. It's Nate Taylor season. It's time for a little extra bye before the playoffs begin. Nate, I appreciate you as always. We'll, you and I'll talk tomorrow, and I hope you've enjoyed this brief respite from Cody and Gold here on Cody and Gold.
Thank you, sir. It was a pleasure.